Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Okay. All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. I was just listening. I want to make sure we're broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm pretty sure we are. So if anybody's out there right now that is hearing our voice, would you please just kind of let me know. Are we out there in Blog Talk Radio land? I want to say good morning to everybody on YouTube and Facebook as well. And it looks like we have an okay coming in right now from 479-321. Good morning, Phil. Miriam, is that you?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear on Blog Talk.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. All right, so everybody out there, how are you guys doing today? You doing well?
Phil's doing much better, and we're just taking an easy day.
Good. And that's the right thing to do. Take an easy day. Brother Phil, he took a little spill. Phil took a spill last night, but now he's healed in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless
you. Amen. I'm eating breakfast.
Good. Enjoy that breakfast. We'll see you guys in just a little bit. And thanks for the heads up. All right, so we are broadcasting live right now on omegaradio.org on Facebook and YouTube and on blogtalkradio.com. You can call into the broadcast today at 818-369-0326. So let me tell you what I was thinking this morning. I was thinking about the scripture passage, the story in the Bible. You probably remember the story. It's the time when Elisha was a prophet in Israel, and I could actually get the story out of 2 Kings chapter 6, 7, and 8, I believe it is. Well, Elisha is the prophet in Israel, and it was a really bad day for Samaria. And what had happened, and I will get there, I want to share it with you, it's the story of a famine that was going on in the land. And it was a really bad famine, if you'll remember. And let me read this just a little bit here and give you the background of what's happening. It was a time when, it got really bad. It really did get bad. Let's read the story for just a moment. And I'm going to have to get a little bit of help here this morning. We're having an awkward start, but that's okay. It's not how you begin the race. It's how you end. And let's see if I can get some good light on this subject here. So And there were, okay, let's go back to chapter 6. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do I want to go there? Well, let me just tell you the story. Let's just speak from our hearts here, and then we'll get maybe to the story later on. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, I think his name was, he is surrounding Samaria, and he's besieging the city with all of his host, all of his military power. And Samaria is in the midst of a major famine, and people are dying in the city gates. You know, we talk a lot about, let me give you an example. We talk about major cities within our nation and around the world that'll be shut down. We talk about martial law. We talk about military powers surrounding the city so that nobody could come out and nobody could come in. Well, in this story, it's exactly that, except this time it's a foreign power called the Syrians, and Ben-Hadad is the king, and Samaria is the city that's in lockdown. And the lockdown produces an environment, and in the story in the Bible, the king is walking through the city, and a woman cries out to him for justice and mercy. He said, well, what's the problem? And the woman says to him in clarity of thought, well, my neighbor and I, we made a decision that today, which was the day before, we were going to boil my baby and we were going to eat the baby. And then the next day we would boil her baby. So this woman is complaining to the king. And she said, well, we boiled my baby and we ate the baby. And then the next day came and she hid her baby. Now you tell her that she has to give her baby so we could eat it today because that was the agreement. Well, the Bible says when the king heard this, he ripped his clothes and all the people saw the sackcloth that was upon his body. And this is just kind of an idea of how bad things got in Samaria. And the famine was horrible. But the day before, Elisha the prophet, well, no, the king at that moment in the story, remembering it properly, the king swears against this prophet Elisha, who had brought the famine. Remember, he had declared the famine, he had brought the famine, and the king says, today, if his head is still on his body, then take my head off, basically, to the Lord. He swears this thing. Well, he goes after the prophet. The prophet's sitting in a room with some elders. The prophet obviously knows that this king is very angry, the king of Syria, the king of Samaria. And so the king sends messengers. Well, the prophet says, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much. Now watch this. The prophet says, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much provision that you're going to be selling it. And it's going to be making a lot of money and there's going to be an abundance. It was such a ridiculous thought in the face of famine where women are eating their own babies. Okay. And yet this was the prophetic word. And one of the king's soldiers mocked the prophet and said, you know, that's ridiculous. And the prophet said to him, well, you're going to see it with your eyes tomorrow, but you're not going to partake of it. You're going to die. After your eyes see the abundance, because you mock the word of the Lord, then, you know, you're not going to partake of the abundance that comes. Well, the next day comes and the story begins with these four lepers. Let me just read the story at this point. Okay. So now I'm going to pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, I think it is. Lord, give me vision. Yeah, verse 3. And it says this, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. So there's four lepers. They wouldn't let them in the city of Samaria, right? So these four lepers are sitting outside the city gate. They don't want them inside, right? And then you have the Syrian army is camped against Samaria. Well, these four lepers are there. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. In other words, here's these four guys with this major leprosy, and they're considering what to do. Do we go into the city where there's famine? They probably wouldn't like us there anyways. And if we just remain here at the city gate, we're going to die here. We're going to die of the famine in there. So here's the plan. Let's go to the Syrians and fall to them. And if they kill us, they kill us. But if they keep us alive, at least we could have some food and water. And so I don't know why I get a kick out of this story, but it says, and they rose up in the twilight to go under the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Now, what's happening? The Lord made this happen. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us. That's what the Syrians were saying. The king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites. I got all kinds of technical stuff going on here. It's amazing. We're going to get along. You watch and see. And wherefore, they said the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians are coming upon us. And wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. So what's going on here? The four lepers are going into the camp to turn themselves over to the Syrians, who are besieging the city of Samaria, who was under famine. And yet these four lepers walk into the camp and they realize there's nobody here. But the tents are here, the horses are here, the donkeys are here. The Lord caused these Syrians to flee, thinking that the major armies of the Hittites and the Egyptians were coming against them and Israel. So these four guys are walking through the camp, and what do they find? Let's see. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So here's the story without trying to read this anymore. Mamma mia. So we need a studio. That's what we need, with good lighting so we don't have to sit in the dark. Praise the Lord. But here's the deal. These guys walk into a smorgasbord of gold and silver and raiment and food and cattle and horses and donkeys. Listen, the famine was so bad, I'm remembering part of the story again, that the price of a donkey's head. Now, I've got a brother. We've got a few donkeys on our land, and the only reason we keep them is so when things get really tough, we would have Jack in the Box. You know what I mean? One of our donkeys' name is Jack. So we would have Jack in the Box. I don't know where we're going here, but the famine was so bad that the head of a donkey would cost like 80 pieces of silver. 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. hey, make sure you have silver, right, in these days. But anyways, these guys, these four lepers find the camp. They finally go back to the king and say, listen, there's plenty of provision out here. So the king's paranoid anyways. He doesn't know what's going on. But he sends out an ambassage, and they find this entire Syrian camp filled with everything. And the prophet's word the day before, this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much, is fulfilled. What's the point of the story? Well, it's kind of along lines with 2 Kings 19, chapter 19, where another story of the bad Syrians, right? And they're coming against the children of Israel, and the prophetic word is don't worry about them. And what happens overnight? God slays 180,000. 180,000 Syrians are slain overnight, and their bodies are just laying dead. And there's another story of a great army that's coming against the children of Israel in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And they all seek the face of God. They pray, a prophetic word comes. They go out to battle, but they find all the people already dead with gold on their fingers and jewels and everything. They came out, I guess they thought they were going to be moving in. But they all die. They fight one another because the Lord put a thing on them, right? And the people of Israel spend 3 days of Judah. They're spending 3 days stripping them of all their gold, silver, raiment, and all that they had. What is the point of these stories? And there are so many more. The point of the story is that in the midst of famine, God could produce much for the people that love him. And I don't know, something about being in covenant with God really works. He takes care of what belongs to him. God, listen to me, will always take care of what belongs to him. There's something very powerful about covenant. Here's the word of the Lord. Covenant. Are you in covenant relationship with God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ? It's called a blood covenant, right? Are you, have you made covenant with God? Has God made covenant with you? You could say you believe in Jesus Christ from now until doomsday. But if that belief has not led to a covenant, and if that covenant has not been sealed with promise, then you're just kind of floundering around. Let's be honest. You could go to church. You could believe in God with your mouth, your mind, maybe even say, well, I do believe in Jesus. But have you taken that belief and ratified, solidified your covenant with God? Because I'm going to tell you one thing I know about God, and I have a lot more to learn, but I know that God is a covenant-keeping God. God has been making covenant with mankind from the beginning of time. Whether it was with Adam, whether it was with Noah, whether it was with Abraham or David or Solomon, or you go throughout Scripture and you find that God is a covenant-keeping God. That's why in the New Testament, we're told that God hates covenant-breaking. God hates covenant-breaking. Israel was in covenant with God, and they broke the covenant, and God hated that. But I'm here today to tell you something by the Spirit of the Lord, because I didn't prepare any of this. I'm trying to get on time, right? Trying to get ourselves straightened out here. But the word of the Lord to you is make a covenant. Let me tell you how it works, okay? Can I share it with you? A real story, lifetime story, modern. About 38 years ago, a 19-year-old boy, confused, no direction, no value, no purpose, wasn't going to school. This 19-year-old boy, through all of his experiences, traveled all over the country, hitchhiked throughout the United States of America, partied hardy, went out there with no direction, his lost soul, runs into these Christian people. They tell him about Jesus. He has this born-again experience in his bedroom one night. He wakes up the next morning a brand new person, but still not having any direction, any knowledge, not really understanding. But just beginning the journey of picking up a Bible and actually reading it. So one day, this 19-year-old young man at this point is invited to go to a house of a missionary with a man who would later become his pastor. So the man that invited the 19-year-old boy to go meet the missionary, the man was not yet a pastor, but eventually would become a pastor and the pastor of that 19-year-old young man. So they go in San Diego, California, to the house of this man who was a missionary. And while entering into the house, the missionary wasn't a very tall man. He was probably about 5'7", 5'8", and he was missing one arm because in his missionary journeys throughout Africa and South Africa, I guess he got into a tango, whatever, but he was a very good man. So imagine the scene, a sunny San Diego afternoon, middle of the day, during the week, people are out. But this man that would become a pastor takes this 19-year-old young man who just received Christ into his heart and knows nothing, goes to the house of this missionary, and while they're talking, the missionary man starts walking around the house praying in this language that the 19-year-old boy never knew anything about. Said, what is this language? But for 10 or so minutes, this man is walking around the house, the San Diego sunlight shining through the windows, the man that would become a pastor sitting there, the 19-year-old young man sitting there, and the man of God is walking through the house, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And suddenly he stops and he points his finger from his one arm at the young man, and he said, you must make a covenant with God. This is what you need to do. Well, that afternoon gathering ended. The 19-year-old young man really didn't know much about covenant, but he did read this one story. Because remember, when he got born again just a few days earlier, he started reading his Bible, and he read this story about David and Jonathan. And that came back into his memory when it came to covenant. And in the story of David and Jonathan loved each other more than women. Now, the homosexuals love that passage, don't they? And they do. They actually preach that this was a homosexual relationship. Had nothing to do with homosexuality. They just had a love for one another as brothers. David and Jonathan is the truth, as you know. I don't have to defend that. But in the story of this covenant, Jonathan and David make a covenant with one another. And the covenant they made was they exchanged each other's clothes, they exchanged each other's armor, they exchanged each other's weapons. In other words, the covenant was what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. So this 19-year-old young man is now at the house of the man of God that took him there, that would become a pastor, and his wife. And he's at the house in the middle of the day, and he's kneeling before a couch, before a wide open big window. And he's praying to God by the instructions of the man from South Africa, the missionary. And he says, God, this man told me to make a covenant with you. And the only thing I know about covenant, God, is what I learned about Jonathan and David. That what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. And God, I'm asking to make this covenant with you because the man told me, and I give you my life. What's mine is yours. But the 19-year-old young man said, but I don't have much to give. I don't have any extra clothes. I don't have any money. I have nothing really to give to you but my life, but my heart. And God, the covenant doesn't seem fair that I'll give you all that I have, but you're God and you're going to give all you have to me? It doesn't sound fair, but the man of God said that that's what I needed to do, said the 19-year-old young man. And so he did. This 19-year-old young man, that day before the couch, made a covenant with God. And God entered into covenant because it was a covenant through the blood of his son, Jesus. It wasn't because of the young man, and it wasn't God just being separated from his son. No, the young man had received Christ, and then the covenant was sealed. And it was sealed in agreement with the blood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you probably already know the story that this man here, Vincent Xavier, was the 19-year-old young man. And 38 years ago, that missionary that spoke into my life and said, you need to make a covenant with God. And he said it with desperation, like, man, you need to do this. And I did. And I can testify today, 38 years later, I am now 57 years old. And what I can tell you is that covenant that I made with God at the word of the Lord has kept me through more stuff you will ever dream. I would like to say that as a 19-year-old born-again young man, that everything was hunky-dory after that. It was not. It has been a hellacious battle. But that covenant that that man of God in desperation said to me, you need to make, that covenant has kept me, because God is not a covenant breaker. Father God, the creator of heaven and earth, is not a breaker of covenant. This isn't figments of my imagination. This isn't make-believe. This isn't pretend. This actually happened. And the only reason why I am here right now as a 57-year-old man who has been more blessed in the spirit of things than anybody in my family I ever knew. I have been so blessed. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? Number one, I'm still breathing. If I told you the things that I had to walk through, I should write a book about it, but I don't know if anybody would read it. But my own story is absolutely phenomenal. When I think about the things that I was going to walk through, and it was almost like that word of knowledge that came from that man, like God was telling him, this better happen, this covenant, because you're going to walk through stuff you have no idea what you're getting ready to walk through. And yet this covenant is going to keep you. And what I found in 38 years is the covenant-keeping Father, the covenant-keeping God that we serve, that I serve, he has kept his part of the deal. And for 38 years, there have been times of hellacious battle and warfare where I would just sit back and say one thing. I remember the covenant. God, remember the covenant. Help me. Keep me in the hands of your covenant-keeping power. And ladies and gentlemen, he has. If I told you the stories of the death threats, if I told you the stories of being in places that were absolutely places that no person should walk through or walk in, if I told you what God has done in my life, not only keeping me from my enemies, not only preserving me from death, not only taking hold of my life, I tell you the truth. I do not lie. The things that I walked through, my backslidings in those younger days because of the generational bloodline curses, the things that I would have to go through in my life, the places I would be in, God kept me. And I'm trying to tell you this because it's real. And there's somebody out there, I have to believe why the Holy Spirit downloaded this in me right now. Somebody's out there right now that you need. You are of necessity needing to make a covenant with God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, Israel, even when they were in trouble, God kept coming through for them. Every time they would turn to the Lord, God kept coming through because of the covenant that he made with Abraham all the way back when, right? And so there's a covenant for you. Now, I want you to know this today. On this Friday the 13th, 2020, I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how many enemies you have. I don't care how much power those enemies have. I don't care about their word curses. I don't care about their abilities. I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven that will deliver you from the snare of the enemy. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that will preserve you and keep you healthy when the sickness and disease is everywhere. I'm telling you, by covenant, there is a God who will protect you. And not only protect you and preserve you and deliver you and heal you, but a God that will also bring his prosperity into your life. A prosperity in your spirit, a prosperity in your soul, and may God prosper you even as your soul prospers, right? So God will prosper your physical reality as well. He'll take care of your needs. Why? He's a covenant-keeping God. He loves covenant. When he enters into a covenant with a person, he has the ability to walk through that person's life in covenant. And if they fall short and ask for forgiveness, remember Solomon's prayer, 2 Chronicles, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and all that, remember, that was part of the covenant. So even in failure, in seeming failure of we, the weak creation, if we turn to the Lord, he will rend his power to us. He will share his grace with us. And we, in the new covenant, have a greater covenant than anybody in the Old Testament ever did. And it does go back and connect to the Abrahamic covenant. That's why in Galatians chapter 3, Abraham is brought into it again. Now, the law of Moses came after Abraham, but the Abrahamic covenant still exists today, but without the law of Moses. And the Abrahamic covenant that is spoken of about the seed, his seed in Galatians 3, the seed of Abraham is Christ, and the covenant is in that seed. You know, it's very powerful. The new covenant is so powerful. It has nothing to do with legalism and laws and all that stuff. It is the grace of God with Abraham. And as God encountered Abraham, you who are of faith are the children of Abraham, according to Galatians 3. You who have faith in Jesus Christ are the children of Abraham. And as God covenanted with Abraham, that covenant is upon your life, but even a greater covenant than Abraham, the covenant of Christ himself. I'm talking a double portion covenant with a covenant-keeping God who loves to keep his part in the covenant. He loves to. Do we deserve it? Did God covenant with Abraham because Abraham deserved it? No. We don't deserve anything. But when we're brought into covenant, we become the recipients of all the promises of God. All the promises of God. Can you imagine that? I don't care if you're black, white, red, brown, yellow, male, female, rich, poor. If you have faith, genuine faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of Abraham, and the promises that were made to Abraham and his seed are for you, but you have a greater covenant with a greater promise of eternal life. That's the covenant Abraham didn't have. Eternal life through the covenant with Jesus Christ. You have it all. You do have access to all the promises of God. But you've got to start thinking, I'm in covenant with God. I'm in a covenant here. I may not keep my part of the deal all the time because I'm weak in my flesh and I miss the mark, but I get back up because I'm in covenant. God strengthens me when I'm weak. Do you want God to take care of you? Listen, I want God to take care of me. You want to be self-sufficient? Go for it. You want to be independent? Go for it. Not me. I want God to take care of me. Just like a wife desires her husband to take care of her, I want God to take care of my life. I mean, I don't want to be independent, strong man, will, blah, blah, I can do. Forget it. You're not going to be able to stand under that consciousness in the days ahead. But letting God take care of you, He'll be your strength. He'll be your boldness. He'll impart to you so many gifts, so much power, so much anointing, so much love, so much grace, so much mercy, so much truth. He is the living God, I'm telling you, by testimony. 38 years, God has proven himself to this man. 38 years, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I'm living in it today. I'm not wandering. I'm in covenant. Has Vincent Xavier failed at times, missed the mark at times? Absolutely. Absolutely. But God not only forgives and restores and heals and makes all things new, but he changes us in the process to become more like him. How could we ever reserve anything for ourselves and keep back from God? You know why you keep back from God? Because you're not in covenant with God. Because the covenant that you make with God is everything I am and everything that I have is yours. And everything you are and everything you have is mine. And God shares it as he wills with us. But it's all ours. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But as long as you're a child, you're no different than a servant, Galatians chapter 4. But when we grow up, now we become the huios sons and the full inheritance is released. But it's already there. All that belongs to God, all that he gave to Jesus as the firstborn heir, we are joint heirs. He shares it with us. It's all there. It's yours. You are the heirs in the joint heirs. But God monitors very well. He says, well, you're able to receive this, but if I gave you all this, you would, like the prodigal son, you'd probably go out and spend it all, waste it all. Many people have done that with the blessings of God. But the more we grow intrinsically and change intrinsically and are transformed inwardly, the more we are able to handle whatever God wants to do right now. But you know what God wants you to get hold of probably more than anything? Maybe it's different for everybody, but to wield the power of the Spirit, to let the Spirit of God, the power of God, be released through your life. Could you imagine walking in the authority that Jesus did? Look at this. The prophet Elisha, old covenant prophets, and yet the power of God was so strong on them. Elisha fed 100 men, floating axes. I mean, all the things that he did. My God. Elijah the same. Rose people from death. Old Testament prophets. The greatest of all the prophets was John the Baptist, and yet the scriptures say he was least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. You're a believer in a new covenant. There's so much power in this new covenant. There's so much life in this new covenant, and it's for you. Well, anyways, I had no idea we were going there today, but we are there. Good morning to Sharon. Good morning to Joseph. Rudina. Yes, Rudina Matani. It's by grace of God. I agree. And good morning to my dear friend and sister, Cindy. God bless you. Hey, so everybody out there, Facebook, YouTube, covenant. Make your covenant with God. You know the man of God that came from Africa that spoke into my life 37 years ago, however long, 38 years ago? He said, you have to do this. Well, that mantle right now is on me to tell you, you must make your covenant with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I believe God's going to do things in your life. He's going to take care of you. I believe that with all of my heart, with every ounce of energy in me. We are also broadcasting live right now on blogtalkradio.com. And there is a telephone number if you would like to call in. If you'd like me to pray for you, you want me to pray for you? Maybe I could impart this blessing to you about covenant because I've experienced it. and it works, and that's the only reason I'm here. Call the number 818-369-0326. Maybe you'd like to share a story of your own about covenant. Maybe you'd like to, you know, open up the door and say, maybe, Pastor, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've made a covenant with God as well. I want to say good morning to Michelle also from Russellville, Arkansas. I think they're getting a little stormy weather down there, Michelle, but I know you're going to go right through the storm. Amen. We've got a lot of friends in that area. The number to call, 818-369-0326. And if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, make sure you just kind of ask the question if you have anything, you want to share something. I'll make sure to read it out loud to everybody. 818-369-0326. Are you ready to make a covenant with God? Are you ready to make a covenant with God? Yes. Michelle says, yes, exactly what I've been sharing about covenant. You see, it's the spirit of the Lord right now. Where are you on this earth right now? Cindy says, God is so good. And he is, Cindy. He is so good. So we have this book, right? It's called the Bible. And in the Bible, there are two covenants revealed. Okay, there's many covenants within the context of the two covenants, but there's a covenant. The new covenant that was ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and when he shed his blood, that blood contained in it the power, the keeping power of his covenant, okay, with all who believe, all who trust him. So the book called the New Testament, all the promises, it's kind of like if your great-grandpa passes away and he left a will behind, and then you go to the lawyers, and you sit down, and the lawyers take the will, and they open the will. And in the will, it says, this is for my grandson. This is for my granddaughter. This is for this person or that person. And all of a sudden, the will spells out exactly what the inheritance was left behind. Hopefully, it's a really good one, right? Hopefully, we're going to get blessed. There's nothing wrong with receiving an inheritance. There's nothing wrong with receiving a blessing from somebody that's going to be moving on. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful thing. But the cool thing is that the covenant, the will that's in the scriptures, watch this. It says in Hebrews that a will, a written will, has no power until the testator dies. So that, in other words, if grandpa's writing a will, well, nobody gets anything until grandpa dies, right? But when grandpa dies, now the will is in full force. Whatever was left is now given. Well, Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews, that the will, the covenant, the promises, all the promises of God in the will went into full force when Jesus died. He was the testator. He's the one. And the covenantal promises that were given to and through him are now in full force to those who will receive. It's all there. Now, some people look at this, first of all, and they think, wow, I get all the stuff, right? Abraham had a lot of stuff, but that's not what this covenant is about. Do you know the underlying power of this covenant that we receive, first of all? Do you know the first thing we receive when we believe in Jesus Christ? Do you remember? The Holy Spirit. And what is so awesome about the Holy Spirit? Everything. But here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the eternal life. And you know why Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with you forever? Because he's the Spirit of life. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, that is the earnest, the down payment, according to the book of Ephesians, it is the earnest of your eternal inheritance. But God, the very first thing that God gave you and I when we believed was the Spirit of life. What was the point of getting all the stuff and then dying if you didn't have the Holy Spirit of life, right? You have eternal life in you today. And you know what that means? That means you, the real you, not the person that you see in the mirror, but the real you, the soul, the spirit of who you are, will never die. You will never die. You, the real you, the lover of God, the lover of Christ, the jubilant, joyful worshiper of God, the triumphant battler, the warrior, the fighter, the one that wants to be an armor bearer for God and a soldier for Christ, the bride that loves him with affections beyond anything she could imagine. You, that inward you, the rejoicer, because you know him intimately, you're never, ever going to die. You may go from one physical body into another, because in fact, the bodies we're in right now, you know that body you have right now? That body was not designed for eternal life. But the promise in 1 Corinthians 15 is that at the coming of the Lord, the trumpet sounds, the dead will rise incorruptible, and we who are alive and remaining will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. What does it mean? He's saying, he says, we're getting glorified bodies. So your spirit and soul will be translated into a body of glory that was designed by God to live forever. Now, how cool is that? That's really cool. That's really cool. All right, so we have Angel is calling in right now, and she's typing in, or he's typing in, prayers, please, to keep holding his hand in these troubling times. Well, right now, Angel, I agree with you in the mighty name of Yeshua, that right now you're going to tighten your grip, and the Father is going to tighten his grip on your life right now. And that not only are you going to be just barely making it and just holding on, but God's going to pull you all the way into his kingdom promises and blessing, that your spiritual inward man or your inward spirit, your life on the inside is going to exponentially be revived. I release that covenant promise to you, Angel, as you have come to the Lord and confessed your sin and confessed your need for him, have humbled yourself and fallen upon the rock. And as if you have reached out to him, he has accepted you. I agree with you right now that the covenant is sure and ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. For all of you out there right now, I'm telling you, you know how you're going to get through all this stuff going on in the world? The covenant, make it. Let's pray right now. I just feel led to pray right now. No one's calling in. Let's pray. There's a lot of people going on here. I like what Michelle's saying. We are going to be filled, full manifestation of the power of his spirit moving through us. Yes, yes, yes. Let's pray. I want to pray for you right now. Just praying. An impartation of something that happened to me 38 years ago when a one-armed missionary from South Africa said, you must make a covenant. And that covenant has kept me for 38 years. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now to every person out there, Lord, you know this world. You've already told us where it's going, but you have a covenant-keeping grace and power for every person listening to this radio broadcast or watching this radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, Father God, receive every individual that is now saying out loud, Father, I desire to make covenant with you. And I want you to know something. Whatever desire you have, whether it be big or small, God's desire is so much bigger. He's been waiting your whole life to say, come on, enter into covenant with me. Come into covenant. The access is granted. The way has been made through my son, through his blood. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I don't care what condition you come in. You just come. And I'll do things, honestly, that will be absolutely amazing in your life. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to confirm the covenant that you are calling for. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, confirm the covenant. Seal every word. Let's pray it right now. Father, I come into covenant with you today because I'm allowed to. You're not rejecting me. You're not denying me. You're not putting your arm up and stopping me. You're welcoming me with arms wide open. Your son on the cross, his arms were wide open. And you've granted access to me. So I come to you today, Father. I come to you and I want to make covenant with you. I don't care about my previous theology. I don't care about my eschatological views. I don't care about doctrine, denomination, external church structure, organization. I'm coming to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm coming to you, and I want this covenant to be sealed today, right now, in the blood of Jesus. Of necessity, seal me. Seal me with your Spirit and with your blood. Ratify the covenant. Strengthen it through the blood. And Father, now, what is mine is yours. All that I have, all that I am, you can have it. It's all yours. And everything you desire for me, Father God, I'm ready to receive. What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. There is nothing I hold back from you. Nothing. It's all yours. My breath, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my body, all that I have, I will use for your glory. It's yours. And everything you give to me, Lord, I'll always remember. It's not mine, it's yours. I will acknowledge everything that I have came from you. All that I have is yours. And anytime you want it, you could have it, because we're in covenant right now. Lord, this is it. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, it's time for a hallelujah. It's time to raise a hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, you just raise your hands to God, start praying in the Spirit, worshiping God, because this is the real deal. Maybe you'll just quietly move out of your place or whatever. But know you're in covenant today with God. This wasn't man-made today. I promise you that. I came on this program, I was flustered. I didn't know where the buttons were. I was late. I got down too late. And this is what God gave today. And it was for you. You're going to walk through coronavirus. You're going to walk through the other cards that the big boys are going to be playing. I'm telling you, I really believe there's at least three, maybe up to five different crises that are going to come upon the globe in these coming days. At least five. At least three. I'm pretty sure five. Crises. New crises. They're trying to handle this one. But no, there's more coming. You're going to walk through every single one of them. You're not going to be wishing to disappear. You're going to walk through, because you're now in covenant with a God who has power over everything. That is the truth. Shake off the serpent's bite of cessationism and let God be God again. Let God be the almighty God that he is in your life. It's time. As Michelle is saying again, glory fire. Yes, glory fire, glorious fire. You're in covenant, saint. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and you're not a servant. You're a son with even a better covenant, or a daughter, even in a better covenant. And your adversaries are going to see that they have no power over thee. And suddenly, they're going to have to come and bow at your feet and say, of a surety, God has loved you. I'm telling you, amazing things are going to start happening. It's happening right now. The prophetic anointing, the flow of the Spirit of God is just moving. And God just was wanting you to make covenant with him today. He says, I don't want you to walk through this alone. I don't want you to walk through this, you know, thinking, well, gee, what scripture do I have? I want to put my Spirit in you, seal this covenant, and I'll take care of the rest. And you could rest, and you could trust, and you can believe that God will take you through it. He took Noah through it. He took everybody through it. He's going to take you through it. All right, we have just a few minutes left in our broadcast today. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. Do you believe it? I'm not going to feed on fear, and I'm not going to feed fear. I'm going to tell you what I believe is coming from the Word of God. I'm going to interpret the signs of the times best I know how, along with all the others that are doing it. And I'm going to share the Word of God, but I'm not going to feed on fear, and I'm not going to feed fear. There's a covenant to be made, and you could walk through it. You could walk through it. You know, one of the great passages, you got to read this, okay? You have to, I preached this last week. You have to go to Acts chapter 27. You have to read Acts 27 this weekend. The book of Acts chapter 27 is about the story of the apostle Paul, who was put on a ship as a prisoner. And that ship wouldn't listen to the word of God. And those shipmasters thought that they knew better. And they went into a storm called Euroclodon. But because the apostle Paul was on that ship, not one soul was lost. I'm telling you, when you are in covenant with God, you're going to save people in your sphere of influence. You're going to become a savior. You are going to be a steady lighthouse in the midst of the storm because of the covenant you're making with God. And eventually, people are going to start coming around you who know you and understand you're standing in this whole thing. I'm telling you, you're going to be just like the apostle or the apostolate, Paul. Or Paulette, whatever, I don't know. Just having fun now. All right, so it's Friday the 13th. Who owns the day? Jesus owns the day. He gave it to you to live an abundant life inside of it. Don't you live in fear. And I mean that. You're walking around, you know what's going on. You're wise as a serpent. You're gentle as a dove. You're not absent-minded about what's going on in the environment, the climate. You are well aware, but you're not afraid. You're covered in the blood of Jesus. You're under a blood covenant. You have greater promises than anything they could say to you. And no matter what, you already have eternal life. Death has no power over you. Death has been abolished concerning you. Period. Period. Those four lepers I was telling you about earlier today, they sat on the steps and they said, man, if we go into Samaria, there's a famine. We're going to die. If we sit here on the steps, we're going to die. Let's go to the Syrians, turn ourselves over. If they kill us, we die. Listen, you're not. You can never die ever again. There's no death has been defeated. It's okay. You are alive in your spirit. You have been quickened. The Spirit of God is quickening your spirit right now. Forget about emotion. Forget about intellect for just a moment. That's your soul. We're talking about that craving desire in your innermost being that is reaching out to God through Jesus Christ. That's okay. Live out of your spirit. Let that wash your soul. Break the curses. And by the way, in about 20 seconds, there's a roundtable discussion going on omegaradio.org. You don't want to miss that. People need to learn how to get set free. But remember, from this day forward, you're in covenant with God. You're in covenant. Study everything about covenant. Go to the Word. Definitely read Acts 27, okay? I have got to go. Sharon is saying, that was a message I needed to hear. I need your prayers. I have some things that I have to make right with a sister that betrayed me. Oh, you got it. We will be praying for you, Sharon. And we're going to ask for favor because of the covenant that you're in, that it's all going to work together for good because you love God. God bless everybody. Have a super blessed weekend. Get into a church where the Word of God will be taught with good friends and fellowship. We'll see you Monday morning. I'm Pastor Vincent. Right now, remember, omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion. Shalom.